Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Well, good morning again. We're going to be studying the book of Luke chapter 6. If you want to get in a Bible and turn there, you can. My name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here at the Church at Lake Travis, and it's so good to see you. In fact, isn't it good to be here on Time Change Weekend just to kind of kick your week off with the right start and turn to the person next to you and just say, you sure look good today. Yeah, and I'm glad you're here. Good, good, good. This is going to be a fun Sunday. Well, as Lee mentioned, Connect 2 is the second step in a four-step process to help you connect with our church. If you're coming around the Church of Lake Travis, you want to know how do you connect and how do you get more involved. This is part two of a four-step process for that very purpose, for you to help, for you to connect. And we are a relational church. That means that we don't just show up here on Sundays and exit and forget about each other throughout the week. We like to connect relationally. And so the Connect track is really the way that we help facilitate those relationships. So we invite you at this time, if you are interested in learning more about connecting with your faith and small groups, go ahead and you can head out. You can be dismissed. And I guess if there are some folks that go, then we'll know that they're going today. And they'll meet Pastor Lee in the lobby there. And here's what I know, that there are some people that won't move until we clap for all our guests. So let's do that right now. Let's welcome all our guests. And yeah, so there we go. There we go. Yeah. Good job. Ah, wow. That's fun. So in 2004, Ashley and I were living in West Palm Beach, Florida. And 2004, if you know anything about South Florida at the time, there were six hurricanes that came through Florida that year. It was really amazing. And the first hurricane that came through that was noteworthy was Hurricane Charley. And Hurricane Charley didn't affect us where we lived on the Atlantic side of Florida, but did greatly hit the Gulf Coast side of Florida. The next one that came through was Hurricane Frances. And Hurricane Frances was barreling through the Atlantic Ocean as a Category 5 hurricane. And everyone in West Palm Beach freaked out. Like, we were going to be the dead epicenter of the hurricane. And everyone just went crazy preparing for that hurricane. That it was so interesting to see the camaraderie that happened around that storm that was approaching. And when we got in that situation with the storm quickly approaching, everyone went to Home Depot together, okay? And we all went and got plywood and screws and drills and just went from house to house and from church to church, and we boarded up windows and took care of everybody in that town. They were estimating that Hurricane Frances was going to be very similar to Hurricane Andrew, which had hit in the early 90s down in Miami and was catastrophic, costing billions of dollars in damage. They were estimating Hurricane Frances was going to be that same kind of hurricane. And for some reason, I don't know why we did this, but we decided to batten down the hatches and invite everybody over for a hurricane party. And so we had friends over. We had like three couples, and they came, and we played board games all night. And then about 11 o'clock or midnight, the electricity went out, and so we lit candles and we played board games to candlelight, and it was so fun. The wind was howling through the boards on the outside of our house, and we were just glad to be together. We were weathering the storm together. I think about how a lot of us might be going through storms in life, and how sometimes we need to know that we have other people in it with us. I wonder if you might be here today and you might be going through a storm. Maybe you're here today and you're not going through a storm. Maybe you can turn to the person next to you and say, I don't really need this today. Then turn to them and say, but maybe you do. the reality is, oftentimes we find ourselves going through a storm. I think there's really, when I looked at this, four types of stormy situations we might find ourselves in. One is we can find ourselves stuck in a storm, but we're unprepared. We didn't even see it coming, and we were unprepared. Two, we are in the middle of the storm, and we're just hunkered down. We're weathering the storm. Three, I think we can often find ourselves traveling through a storm. In fact, one time, just after Hurricane Francis, that same year in 04, Ashley had gone up to Nashville to a women's conference, and I was down in South Florida with our two kids, and the Hurricane Jean started heading our way. This was only a month or so after Hurricane Francis, and honestly, I just didn't feel like dealing with all of the stuff that you have to do and boarding up everything, so I was like, we're just getting out of here. We're going to run from the storm. Some of us are doing that, aren't we? Run from the storm. And so I get in the car and I go up to Orlando. And I get to Orlando and they say, by the time I get to Orlando, they say, oh, the storm is actually going to hit West Palm. Then it's going to take a right-hand turn and come north. And it's going to hit Orlando. But it's not just going to be a hurricane at this point. It's going to spawn all kinds of tornado activity. Just what you want to hear in the middle of running from a storm. There's going to be more storm in your life. And so I was like, oh, well, I'm going to get on the road and I'm going to go over to Tampa. And so I went over to the Gulf Coast side. And this is, you've heard of a storm chaser. I'm actually a storm racer. I'm trying to get ahead of the storm. So I go to Tampa and I'm in Tampa and the storm comes all the way across the state. No tornado activity, but comes all the way across the state, goes through Tampa. I wait for it to go out into the Gulf of Mexico, and then I say, well, Ashley couldn't fly into West Palm Beach because the airport was closed. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to Birmingham. She'll come down to Nashville. I'm going to drive up to meet her. And as I'm driving up I-75 straight up through the middle of Florida, the hurricane goes out into the Gulf Coast and then comes back across North Florida while I'm driving. And I was on the phone with my pawpaw and I'm like, can you look at the Weather Channel and tell me where the storm is? Here's where I am. And he said, it's right on top of you. I remember driving, white knuckling, going through the storm. Just trying to get through the storm, scared out of my mind, with two young children in the back and the wind rocking our minivan back and forth and back and forth and huge swells of water washing underneath the vehicle, thinking I'm going to get washed off the road. Some of you might feel that way. You're traveling through a storm. There's one other place that we can find ourselves in stormy situations, and that is we are on our way to a storm. None of us like to think that way. In fact, you might say, I thought this series was about good news, Jeremy. Well, it is good news, and you might say that's not very positive that you would say that, and I would say, well, I'm positive that you're headed to a storm at some point in your life. And so what I want to do is share with you the good news that Jesus gives us and how to weather the storm. Not only weather the storm, but how to stand strong in the storm. I believe Jesus gives us some instruction here in this message today. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. You've heard this story before. It's a story often taught about standing strong in the storms of life. It's a story often taught when you're thinking about practical living, and that's what this story brings. So beginning in verse 46, Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" And then he illustrates it through this story. He illustrates this statement. He says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words, when he says, hears my words, what he's saying is listens, like hears and listens. Because there's a difference, right? There's a difference between hearing something and hearing and listening. Sometimes you might say to your kids, like, are you listening to me? And they might say, yeah, I heard you. No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, did you hear what I said? And are you listening to what I said? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Are you listening to what he's saying? And then he says, this person puts them into practice. So they listen, but they also live it out. I'll show you what they're like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, when the storms of life hit, a torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I want to be well built. And Jesus continues the story. He said, but the one who hears my words, who listens, but does not put them into practice. The one who listens but does not live it is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, the moment the storm came, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. How many of us want to live well-built lives that when the storms of life come, we are unmoved, we are unshaken, we stand strong? I believe everyone in this room would say, that's me, Jeremy. I want to be the person who stands strong. And I would say, here's how you stand strong. You listen and you live it. You listen and you live it. Now, I'll say, as I study this passage this week, and maybe just preconceived ideas, because we can all do that when we approach the Bible. We can look at the Bible from the perspective that we have, and we can read into the Bible what it's not saying. In fact, a lot of people say that the Bible ruins a lot of good sermons, because the Bible doesn't always look at things the way we look at things. In fact, I was looking at this passage this week, and I was approaching this passage saying that if we will have the Word of God, the Bible, as the foundation of our lives, then we will have a house that's built on a firm foundation that will not be shaken when storms come. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said that there are some people who have the Word of God who listen, but they're not living it. And they're the ones who have a house built on a shaky foundation. Listen and live it, Jesus would say. Listen and live it is the key. What about when we're going through storms of life, like financial storms, like where we can't seem to get ahead? What about when the car breaks down, and the washing machine goes out, and the mortgage is due all last week? How do we weather the storm? How do we stand strong in the storm? We stand strong by listening and living it. This past year, we were on vacation with our family, and one of our family friends invited some friends, and so they were also in the same area we were. And this couple, just a sweet couple, in their late 30s, two kids, beautiful little kids. And we hung out with them on vacation at the beach and playing on the beach. And going, hanging out and everything. It was just, they're a sweet family. And then fast forward to Christmas, and we're at a Christmas party, and we see this couple again. And what happened between vacation in August and December was that this young mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. You want to talk about a storm. Like, it was almost like a direct contrast from this beautiful sunny setting in South Florida, or in Destin area, Florida. And we're looking at this couple, and they're having the time of their life, to seeing them at this Christmas party, and they're hurting. They're going through a storm. How do you get through a storm like that? You do what Jesus said. You listen and you live it. And I talked with the gentleman, the husband, and he just said, I can't tell you, if you had told me that we were going to have to go through this 6 months ago, or when we saw you guys at vacation, I would have said, we can't do it. But as we've listened to God and as we've done what He is leading us to do, we have so much peace in the midst of the storm. You know, I think about the storms of life and how we can all go through storms. Maybe one of the stormiest areas of our world can be our family. It seems like that when our family is going through a storm, it really can disturb the peace. Back in August or so, Tyler got sick. And we took him to the doctor, and they ran all kind of tests and couldn't figure out what it was. And that went on really probably the end of July all the way through about the middle or end of August. And, you know, for a 17-year-old young man to be ill, I mean, doubled over in pain and his abdomen just hurting, like that was a storm for us. When our kids come under some kind of distress, whether it be in school or in their health or on the athletic field, it disturbs the peace. It's a storm that can rock us if we don't listen and live it out. We must listen and live it out. There's always a temptation. And that temptation for us is to build our foundation on something other than obedience to God. Because when we say live it out, that's really what we're saying. We're saying God not only wants to speak to us, but He wants us to obey Him. There's no delayed obedience. We used to say to our kids, delayed obedience is really disobedience. There's no delayed obedience in God's. It's either obey or disobey. Listen and live it. The temptation for us, I think, sometimes is we want to replace obedience with something else. We want to replace obedience with maybe it's like the Apostle Paul. I'll read this in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, I was tempted to have a foundation other than obedience to God. And here's what he writes. He said, if someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. He says, here's my qualifications. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. And then Paul says, but that's not the foundation of my life. He says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I think about Paul and his determination to make it clear that his foundation is not his family heritage. But I think about us, and I think sometimes, you know, we can be tempted to carry family heritage as the foundation of our life. Like, oh, you know, our family, we go to church every Sunday, and we are here, and we're going to show up, and we start to build our lives on a false foundation of family heritage. People I meet oftentimes will say, I'll say, well, tell me your story. How'd you come to faith in Christ? And they'll say, oh, I've always been a Christian. No. No, you weren't. You were a sinner, born into sin. You're only saved by grace through faith in Christ. Your family, just because your family are Christ followers, doesn't make you a Christ follower. Just like going and standing in a garage doesn't make you an automobile. The reality is, what Paul is saying here is family heritage wasn't what he put his foundation on. He also said social status wasn't what he put his foundation on. Like, when we think about social status and think about the country club that you're a part of, or the organization that you lead, or the amount of money that you make, all these socials, or the neighborhood you live in, the car you drive, what's the social symbol that you're trying to have as a foundation of your life? Because it's untrustworthy, because when the storms of life come, it's a faulty foundation. Paul would say, I don't put my hope in that. I don't even put my hope in morality. You know, Lake Travis is full of some really good people, moral people, conservative people. In fact, I've always thought it was odd. Like, at the Lake Travis Chamber of Commerce, I'm honored to do it, but they open every Chamber of Commerce luncheon with an invocation, a prayer from a Christian pastor. Like, I'm honored that they do that, but I don't think that that speaks so much to their spiritual acumen as much as it does to their conservative political position. And can I say that a conservative, moral, right, good person is not a foundation that can be built on? And Paul would agree with that. How about this? Bible knowledge. Like, oh, Bible knowledge. Like, if I just know my Bible, then I'm really going to have a firm foundation. And again, I would say over the years that I would probably agree with that statement to a certain degree. In fact, I've used a quote many times by Charles Spurgeon that says, show me a person whose Bible is falling apart, and I'll show you a person whose life is not. It's a good one. And I would say that Jesus might push back on that statement a little bit. Because Jesus would say, show me a person whose Bible is falling apart, and someone who is actually living out what the Bible says, and I'll show you a person whose life is not falling apart. Listen and live it. Is the Bible strong and true and trustworthy? Absolutely it is. It's endured so much opposition. There's so much life in the Word of God, in the Bible. And yet, if we never put it into practice, we will have a shaky foundation, because putting it into practice is the foundation that Jesus is speaking about in Luke chapter 6. One person that I listen to oftentimes, he said, in America, the Christian church is over-educated and under-obedient. most of us here, we know what the Word says. We have the Bible here. We have the Bible on the screen. We have the Bible on our phone. We have access to the Bible. We can listen to podcasts. We can download sermons. We can watch videos of other churches online. We have access to everything that God wants to say to us at any given time. And yet, the question is, do we live out what we already know? Are we listening, and are we living it? Now, I think about this, and I think we've asked the question recently, do you know what the Great Commission is? Because I read something that said, I don't know how many believers actually know the Great Commission. Like, the phrase, what is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is from Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20, 18 through 20, where Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is, Jesus is saying, my mission is to make disciples, but I'm giving you a great commission. I want you to come together with my mission. I want you to be a part of making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, here's the thing. I can imagine we get to heaven and we try to say to Jesus, Jesus, I love that verse. That was so good. And Jesus says, yeah, but what'd you do with it? Did you invite anybody to church? Did you disciple anybody? Did you participate in baptizing anybody? But Jesus, that was, I said my memory verse, I went to Sunday school, I went to small group, I went to Connect Track, I did all these things, and yeah. But did you do what I told you to do? Did you live it out? Did you obey? I think for us, like, if we're going to withstand the storms that life can throw our way, we've got to be a people who listen and live it. So what does this mean for us? I want to make this practical for us, as practical as I can. Let me share with you four practical steps to listen and live it. Number one, read God's Word daily. Read God's Word daily. The Bible, as I said, is a solid, solid source of truth for us. It's life and health to our very soul. Hebrews chapter 4 says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it pierces through the soul. It judges the thoughts and intents of our heart. It brings life to us. So read God's Word daily, because when we read God's Word, we find out things like, oh, I'm not saved by my works. This is not a salvation message, everybody. This is a discipleship message. This isn't saying that you have to listen to God's Word and live it in order to come to know Jesus. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying, if you know Jesus, you will listen to Him and you will live it. This is following Jesus stuff. Read God's Word. You'll find all kinds of beautiful pictures of what it means to follow Him. Read it every day. The second practical step to listening and living it is to invite the Holy Spirit to shed light on what you're reading. Have you ever been in a darkly lit room trying to read something, but you just couldn't quite make it out because it was a little too dark? Some of you are saying, yeah, in this room right now. you just need a little bit of light to illuminate what you're reading. The Holy Spirit, His ministry, is for that very purpose. Some people will tell me, Jeremy, I read the Bible, but I just don't understand anything I read. It's like words on a page. I don't get anything out of it. And my question for you is, are you inviting the Holy Spirit to illuminate what you're reading? Because I think that makes a difference of whether or not you're really able to listen. I love what 2 Peter says. It says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice," remember we're talking about listening, "the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased.' We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word," the spoken word, "more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention," listen and pay attention, "as to a lamp," I love this, "as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture," not one thing from God's Word, "comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." You want God's Word to come to life, invite the Holy Spirit to light up the pages, to illuminate what you're reading. And then 3, pray for courage to obey God's Word. Pray for courage to obey. I think about, if I'm going to listen, I've got to read God's Word. The primary way that God speaks to us is through His Word. Let's not mistake anyone here and say God's going to come to you in some kind of booming voice. I've never had God speak to me quite that way, but I have had God speak to me through this book over and over again. So if we're going to listen, we've got to read God's Word. Second, we've got to invite the Holy Spirit to illuminate what we're reading. And once we've listened, once we've heard what God has said to us, then we pray that God would give us courage to obey. One of the things that will prevent us from moving forward in what God speaks to us is simply being afraid, being fearful. How do we get over fear? Especially when we're going through storms in life. Well, we get through fear by inviting God to give us courage. I love in Acts chapter 4, there was a group of believers who were under attack. They were being attacked for their faith. Like, they were going to be killed for their faith. And they gather in a room together and they say, "God, we don't want to leave this place until You speak to us. We need to hear Your voice. Speak to us, God." And they pray and they invite God to speak to them. They invite God to use them. And then here's what Acts chapter 4 verse 31 says. "The place where they were meeting was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were sent out by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God boldly." Boldly. When you ask God to give you courage, His response is, absolutely, go and do it boldly. That would be the fundamental difference between someone who goes through a storm and their life falls apart because of the storm they're going through. It's whether or not they're boldly obeying. So you pray for courage and then you go and you boldly obey. You do what God says. And when the storms of life come, when the rain beats down and the wind blows and howls, and you think, how are we ever going to withstand this? You remember the words of Jesus. You listen and you live it. That's how you stand strong during the storms of life. And it might not be a Category 5 hurricane that's coming your way, but I believe all of us want to be able to say that we're standing strong. We're victorious people. We're standing strong in the midst of the storms of life. Wouldn't it be awesome if we are known as a group of people, man, those people, when they go through difficult times, those people are strong. Not because of anything we do, but because we're simply listening to the Lord and we're living out what He's calling us to do. Ashley and I were talking last night, and we were talking about calling, feeling called to things, and she just pushed back against me because I was saying, you know, I'd love for people in our church to feel called to certain things, and she was like, do people even talk that way? That's like preacher talk, I guess, you know. And I said, well, maybe this language would be better. Maybe the language of listening and following God's leading. Maybe you don't feel called to something, but you definitely can understand what it's like to listen to the Lord and feel led to do something. And I would just encourage you, invite you to listen, to lean in to what God is saying, to listen, and to step out in faith and live it.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.